This week is part two of our Oceanside Zone series. And in case you weren't here last week, this is hearing from your own in the congregation. Sometimes this is people, as it was last week, who are maybe formally studying in theological education or perhaps training. But sometimes it's just somebody who has a great story or testimony or something to share, or that is something worth hearing. And so this week we have a little bit something more like that. So this week is Theo, our very own Oceanside Zone, and Theo and his wife and two kids have been with us for about 6 years, and so he's going to come share with us this morning.
I'll turn you on.
Thanks, Joseph. Well, I'm not sure I can add much more after all of that this morning. That was an incredible time together of worship, and thank you for being here this morning. Thank you, Joseph, for asking me to do this. This is a stretching moment for me, and it's not easy to be up here because I play keys from time to time, but speaking is a little bit different. And so I pray that you can bear with me as I share with you and bounce around with my thoughts. I am not a preacher. I am not a prophet. I am not a pastor. I am a sinner saved by God's grace. And I'm called to obedience and worship because of the love and sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And I hope and pray that this morning, as I share some of my testimony and a little bit of a message, that I can give you a glimpse through some of my life's experiences of why I believe that we worship and serve the ultimate caregiver. I also want to take this opportunity to bless the extension of the body of Christ, which is Oceanside Community Church. I so enjoy the fellowship of this community and the teaching and encouragement that comes from this pulpit, especially last week's inaugural speaker of Oceanside's own, Trudy Hoskins. I was very blessed by her message from the book of Job. And if you haven't listened to it, go back and listen to it. It's worth a listen. I believe the teachings here are inspired by the Holy Spirit, and we need to continue to pray for our leaders and speakers at Oceanside, for protection from the evil one, and for blessing from our Heavenly Father, and for inspiration from the Holy Spirit. We are so blessed to have a leadership team here that is passionately serving the Lord and showing the Oceanside community the love of Jesus. So for those of you who don't know me, some of you do, and as Joseph already mentioned, my wife, Joanne, and our children have been attending Oceanside since we moved to Qualicum Beach in 2018, so just over 6 years. My family includes my wife, Joanne, and at the end of August, we will have been married for 14 years. We have a daughter, and her name is Greta, and she recently turned 9. You can hear her. And our son, Archer, who is 6 years old, will be 7 soon. We moved to the island to live with Joanne's parents. Archer was only 2 weeks old when we made the transition from High River, Alberta, to Vancouver Island. It was a move that provided an incredible opportunity for us all as a young family, most importantly, to support and care for one another. As grandparents, loving on their grandchildren, as well as adult children, Joanne and I, walking along the journey of aging parents. We all lived in a 1,000-square-foot converted shed while we did major renovations for the first year and a half and transformed our living arrangements to support each other, particularly in the last years of my father-in-law's life, who passed away a year and a half ago from cancer. I grew up on the mainland in the Fraser Valley, where my parents still live in Abbotsford. And actually, it's really interesting because the question of the day, where do you live? I didn't know he was going to ask that. It plays into this, you know, where are we all from? I'm from Abbotsford. My wife, if any of you are from this place, you can talk to her after. She's from Winnipeg. And there you go. Are you from Winnipeg? There you go. You can talk to Joanne afterwards and talk about the roads and how you get to where you need to go and what roads have changed names and which directions you go. It's a Winnipeg thing, so just take your time. growing up, my immediate family was deeply involved in church ministry in nearly every aspect. At church, when my parents were involved in worship, my mom would play the piano and my dad would lead, or he would be preaching himself. And I would sit with my grandparents, my oma and my opa. And I'd sit between them, arm in arm, and I'd sit through the bilingual services in German and English. And it was, you know, it was a foundational experience for me. And through those years, I attended Sunday school and boys' club, vacation Bible school, youth group, and the list goes on and on. After high school, I went to a program called School of Discipleship. It was a one-year program that challenged my faith and deepened my understanding of God through His Word and sharpened by peer relationships. And it challenged, I had personal challenges to deepen my understanding of God's heart for the world. I am so thankful for the generational faith and hope that I have received because of my grandparents on both sides, who I knew well, that made choices to follow Jesus, to not lose hope through war, poverty, fleeing persecution, and even escape from a concentration camp. Their stories helped shape my identity, my simple faith, and my heart for a world that is longing for a savior. I do not take it for granted that the Holy Spirit had a through line of His work in my family from generation to generation. And I pray that my children will also be blessed by that gift. How can I ignore a God who leads those that came before me and allows me the incredible life I have to be able to share with you this morning? Personally, my relationship with Jesus began when I accepted Him into my heart as my Savior when I was a young boy, around the kitchen table, about 5 years old. I even have it written down in a Bible. And I was baptized when I was 13 years old, and although I admit my youthful immaturity in that decision now, I knew that there was growth and a path ahead of me, and that means now that I still daily have to take up my cross and follow Jesus. Now, fast forward to the present, or more recent present. What I do for work, it kind of leads into what I'm talking about this morning. In 2019, I went back to school to become a healthcare assistant, graduating in 2020 in the thick of, dare I say, the global COVID-19 pandemic. Now, completing my program and practicums in complex care and assisted living through the pandemic was an incredibly difficult time. Uncertain times for everyone, as we all can attest to. And it was an eye-opening experience, seeing how the healthcare system, how it works, and the incredible people who work in it, and those that depend on it for all their needs, complex, acute, everything included. I am still a caregiver, except now I spend time one-on-one with a variety of clients and a variety of needs and ever-changing daily walks. I know there are a few of us in this congregation, and I am so thankful for those of you who serve in this way. It takes a special heart. I have always had a soft place in my heart for the stories of life, for the journeys we are all on, particularly those of us who have experienced life from different perspectives, and those of us who have had a greater length of life than mine. I'm trying not to use the word seniors, but it is those of us who are older than I am, those stories have shaped me. And even as a young boy, God placed this openness and broader life's perspective in my mind's eye through listening to stories of my grandparents and their friends. In my role as a caregiver, I not only serve as a helper and a companion, being a personal assistant in activities of daily living, like cooking and cleaning and getting exercise and socializing, but personal care and also being a friend, and at times a pseudo family member. I serve them and I learn to meet the specific needs of the individuals that I come in contact with. It takes attention to detail and a desire to get to know someone deeper if they'll let me. Their quirks and idiosyncrasies, their likes and their dislikes, it's an imperfect relationship, but it is a journey of learning for them as they recognize their needs, and for myself as I learn to adapt to their nuances. Sometimes when I begin a relationship with a client, it takes extra time to develop what is needed and how the needs are met. I can only imagine what being a caregiver is like without some source of hope or deeper meaning to life. Being a believer in Christ, I believe ultimately that the people I care for are also children of God, even if they don't know it yet. And I want to care for them as Christ would, to care with compassion. Years ago, before I was a caregiver, I had a friend, a man who had spent many years in prison. It's a long story, but I had a moment in my journey of faith that I learned something from this man in this relationship to him, that the depth of Christ's care and love, specifically with the story of the criminal on the cross next to Jesus. Christ, even in his dying, in his literal compassion, or as the word means, to suffer with, Jesus cared for the man on the cross next to him. Jesus exemplified ultimate care. How profound, how deep. And because of that sacrifice, my view of my friend changed. He was one of God's children, just as I am, making us brothers. As I continue to grow as a caregiver and learning, I learn to understand what care means, and as people change, and as each unique situation develops. I see a bigger perspective where there is an intersection of a world of need for something greater, longing to be cared for, and the call to the body of Christ to exemplify and point to his infinite care and sacrifice on the cross. Wherever you find yourself today, whatever part of the story you find yourself at, I ask you, what do you care about? Can I invite you to let God take care of you? At the end of June, on the 29th, Pastor Joseph preached a sermon titled Wrapping Up of the Gifts, Simple Over the Sensational. I really appreciated his message And I encourage you to go back to listen to it. I want to touch on one part of what he called the simple love over the sensational. Joseph talked about how we must focus on Christ crucified and the invitation to the humble lifestyle of followers of Christ. To be part of that in the church body is what we are called to do and be. His second point was that we should focus on simple ideas or core Christian ideals that unite rather than sensational ones. The simple idea I want to focus on, or as Joseph said, the primary idea is that God is our ultimate caregiver, revealed through Christ crucified, his grace, mercy, and the love and care of God. Now, stepping back again, some of the men here will remember that I spoke and shared at the men's breakfast in March. It was an absolutely incredible morning together. The men of the church fellowshipped together. We sang together and we worshiped. There was spontaneous testimony sharing and prayer over one another. It was an example of the church caring for one another. It was like watching the pouring out of the Holy Spirit into the hearts of the men who God calls his sons. When I spoke at the men's breakfast, I had titled my talk, Who Cares? Or rather, Who Cares? Who cares? I have a hard time with this question because it brings up some feelings. And I think we all have that time in our life when we question, who cares? It was a deep, heartfelt question. And if I'm being honest, it was a flippant, almost rebellious statement, one that comes from a place of personal struggle through understanding that we fall short. And in the ever-present brokenness of our world, including the distractions of the sensational, the virtue signaling, all the things that we fall victim to because we live in a world that longs for healing and redemption. Again, that question of who cares came from personal bouts of depression and fear. And it was a reflection on a life lived with all its personal experiences where I have often struggled with this deep yearning in me to know God and to be known by him. But, simply put, God cares. He tells that to us again and again in Scripture. He tells us to give all our worries and cares to him in 1 Peter 5, verse 7. In Psalm 46, verse 1, he says, God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. In Psalm 55, verse 22, King David tells us, if you give your burdens to the Lord, he will take care of you. Isaiah 41, verse 13, for I hold you by your right hand, I, the Lord your God, and I say to you, don't be afraid. I am here to help you. I want to read one more psalm, which, to be honest, has actually been really helpful for me as I've prepared to speak, and you'll understand when I read it. But in these wild days that we live in, they speak to me as though my heart sings them, and I pray them as an encouragement to all of us. Psalm 63, verses 1 through 8. O God, you are my God. I earnestly search for you. My whole body longs for you. in this parched and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in your sanctuary and gazed upon your power and glory. Your unfailing love is better than life itself. How I praise you. I will praise you as long as I live, lifting up my hands to you in prayer. You satisfy me more than the richest feast. I will praise you with songs of joy. I lie awake thinking of you, meditating on you through the night, because you are my helper. I sing for joy in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you, for your right hand holds me securely. I take some time to meditate on that psalm, Psalm 63. It has richly blessed me and has proven to me that God cares. One final story I'd like to share from a personal story that has helped me again see how deep the Father's love is. For the last few years, through my work, I have had the privilege of spending time with a man whom I got to know fairly well. And even though we only spent a couple hours a week together, I felt bonded to him. He was a character, and at times he felt like a brother. We talked about just about anything under the sun. One thing we didn't talk about was his relationship with God, partly because that's not what my job is about. However, I knew God had placed him in my life for a reason. And that reason is this. He passed away recently, and shortly after he passed, as I was sitting at his bedside in my own sorrow, I heard the Holy Spirit say, "I loved him too, and I died for him as well." God cared for my friend more than I knew. He cared that much for him, for me, and for you. God, our Creator, is the ultimate caregiver. So much so that the Bible even says so. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. There is no one in the entire world that God's loving care isn't for. No matter who you are or where you are today, how your heart feels, or whatever sensational distractions that come your way, God cares for you.